you're able to. And we'll start off with like we did in the sunrise service. Christ is risen.
Amen.
Amen. We didn't do that very well, but maybe we ought to do it again.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
There you go. Amen. All right, 268. Let's all sing He Lives.
To go to our Father who has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have hope today because of what God has done in Him. Let's go to Him in prayer this morning. Dear Father, we want to thank You for triumphing over Him who had the power of death. We were in subject, in bondage to the fear of death. All our lives, every health crisis is a scare. Every near accident causes us great anxiety. And yet, because of Jesus Christ, we do not fear death anymore. We have a hope that we will live with You forever. And Father, we're so thankful for the anchor of that hope that is Jesus Christ, who has gone within the veil. He is the forerunner before us, the first fruits of our resurrection. Father, we're so thankful that we can talk with Him and we can live with Him and He can live within us and direct us and empower us on a daily basis. Father, all praise and honor goes to You. Father, please help us today to honor Your Son as He deserves to be honored. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that on the basis of the resurrection, they would believe. Bowing the knee to you and causing all of your glory to rejoice in joy before you. Lord, we are excited about what you're going to do in this day. We commit it to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I want to welcome you out to Bethel Community Baptist Church, and I know we have many visitors here, and it's a wonderful time for family to get together. And this is a good time to celebrate because this is the apex of all of human history. We celebrate the changing of epochs and ages, and it all starts with the body of Jesus Christ going from the old age into the glorified age and with his spiritual body. And he is going to be the one who brings all things under himself, and everything will be reconciled in Jesus Christ, and this whole world will be transformed when he comes again. And so we anticipate even today that his words will be fulfilled. He's alive and he's coming again. Just want to give you a couple announcements here. We are going to, just kind of on the minor note, but it is exciting, we're going to postpone our Friday visitation this week, and Mount Orem is having special revival services, and if you'd like to be a part of that, I think we're going to plan on going on Friday night and just encouraging them and praying for the Lord to do a gospel work through that church and to revitalize that in our community. So if you'd like to be a part of that, it's an exciting aspect. And then also, just as you turn the calendar, we're not too far away from May, but we're going to have a really good time, a great family fellowship with our church picnic. There'll be no evening service that day, but we'll have a good time of fellowship over at the Brock's. And we'll give more details as we look ahead towards that. But all of our regular ministries this week, and continue to pray for our jail ministry. It's even going out today, and for our Wednesday night ministries. And so just you can look at, keep abreast of things in the bulletin. Also, our family of the week that we're going to be praying for is Joe and Bonnie Smith. I know they're here, so would you guys like to stand? And is there anything that we can be in prayer for you guys out through this week? So. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. We'll enjoy praying for you this week, and may God bless you abundantly. And then our missionary family of the week is Seth and Nicole Stokes. They have just returned, and this is the first time that they have their little baby there, Selah. So be in prayer for them as the ministry goes forward, and God is, they've overcome many obstacles, and we're praying that God will bless them, especially as they see evangelistic outreach through Easter, that God would bless their fruit. So you're singing well to the Lord's glory, and we'll go ahead and sing out to him.
All right, page 270. I'll ask you to stand again if you're able to as we sing 270. Hail the day that sees him rise.
Enters now the heart.
You may be seated. This time we're going to take up our love offering that we do each and every service for an opportunity for us to give to the Lord and demonstrate our submission to Him, even in a practical way. It's an act of worship, and so we do that gladly, not grudgingly, but with a fullness of heart because of the salvation that Jesus Christ has given to us. I'd like to ask Mr. Ryan Lewis, would you mind praying for us here?
Our great God and Father in heaven, we rejoice this day for the sacrifice that you gave for your Son and for the blessings that you have given us. Lord, we will take this offering, Lord, that you will use it for your use and spread your word and your gospel throughout the world. Bless the gift and the giver, Lord, and bless this day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As the words of that song indicate, really we can't quite truly understand the joy of the resurrection until we understand the purpose of Jesus Christ's death. He came to die, but it was through death that He conquered. And He has demonstrated the greatest paradox in all the world, that someone would be willing to do that in great love because of our great need. And so it's our joy to present to you a cantata that takes you a little bit through the resurrection joy, but to really understand that, you have to understand what Jesus Christ came to do. And so many of our songs are going to help us understand that, to help us come to that point of where we rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the end is not the cross, but it's the empty tomb, and it's the enthroned Son of Man. And so we present to you, He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Can you imagine being there at the tomb? Imagine being Mary Magdalene moving through the streets of Jerusalem with great sorrow in your heart for your Lord and Master.
Your teacher and redeemer.
Your Savior and friend was dead.
To add insult to injury, someone had no respect for his body and had stolen it away during the night. With nowhere to go and no meaning to life, Mary stood beside the tomb, sobbing uncontrollably.
A man, presumably the man who tended the little garden around the tomb, noticed her and inquired after her need. Her response was almost unintelligible through her tears as she inquired that if he had moved the body, she would retrieve it if he would only tell her where it was.
It was at this moment that the man spoke her name, Mary. She knew that voice. She recognized her shepherd when he called to her.
It was really Jesus alive and in the flesh, in his glorified body and his resurrected glory. Unspeakable joy. The emotion was so strong that she threw herself toward his feet in reverence and in a desire to never let him go again.
Oh, this resurrection joy, the joy of those who first discovered him alive, can be yours today too.
But to know this joy, you must understand all that led up to this moment.
His passionate words in the upper room, his struggle in the garden, his brutal treatment at his trial, his rejection by his people, and his death on the cross.
The story begins like this.
With echoes of Hosanna still reverberating in the streets of Jerusalem, following the triumphal arrival of Jesus, faithful Jewish people gathered and prepared for the Passover festivities.
The day for the Passover feast finally arrived. The disciple asked Jesus where he wanted them to go and prepare for their own observance of the Passover. He instructed them to go to the city where they would find a man carrying a jar of water. He would show them a large upper room furnished and ready. It was there they were to make their preparations.
When evening came, Jesus and his disciples gathered and shared the Passover meal. While they were eating, he took bread, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Then Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord, thy will be done as he sought the
not my will, but yours. These solemn words have echoed through the ages as Jesus embraced the will of Almighty God on this sacred night. When he rose from prayer, Jesus went back to his disciples where he found them asleep from exhaustion. Suddenly, they were surrounded by a crowd which had been led to this place by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. In an ironic act of betrayal, he kissed Jesus on the cheek so that others could identify and seize him.
The angry crowd, comprised of chief priests, officers of the temple guard, and religious elders, led Jesus away, taking him to the home of the high priest. In a trial filled with deceit and mockery, the religious leaders were seeking evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death and rid themselves of this so-called prophet. Many testified falsely against him.
By the time morning arrived, the religious leaders had determined to put Jesus to death. They led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor for the region. It was the governor's custom at Passover to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, a notorious prisoner named Barabbas was in custody.
When the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which of these prisoners do you want me to release, Barabbas or Jesus, who was called the Christ?" The angry crowd, incited by the chief priests and religious elders, responded, "Release Barabbas, crucify Jesus."
Pilate resigned himself to the will of the people. He handed Jesus over to the soldiers, who took and flogged him, mockingly put a scarlet robe on his back, and placed a crown of thorns on his head. Then they led him away to be crucified.
Jesus, this one who had been sent as God's great gift of love to the world, now stood as an outcast, sentenced to death on a cross by the very people he had come to save.
Was betrayed, rejected, condemned by
In the darkest hours of human history, the Son of God was nailed to a cross to die a criminal's death. As witnesses mocked him, a company of soldiers divided up his clothes in a final act of humiliation.
In that moment, the words of the prophet Isaiah were fulfilled. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Darkness came over the whole land as the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Calling out in a loud voice, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he died.
A Roman centurion had been standing near the cross and witnessed all of these final events. As Jesus died, he spoke words of truth. Truly, this was God's Son.
Thank you.
After his death, a rich man named Joseph came to Pilate and requested that he might have the body of Jesus so that he could be buried with dignity in a newly hewn tomb in a garden.
Because the next day was a special Sabbath, they hurriedly wrapped the body in a clean linen cloth and brought it to the tomb without even applying the customary spices. The women who watched where he was buried purposed to perform this final act of homage as soon as it would be ceremonially appropriate.
Before dawn on the first day of the week, the women silently congregated with sweet spices and made their way anxiously to the garden tomb, wondering how they would be able to get to Jesus' body because the entrance to the tomb was covered with a giant stone.
Little did they realize that the great earthquake that they had felt earlier that morning was the moment that the angel of the Lord, clothed in the purest white linen and with a face as brilliant as lightning, had descended and rolled the stone away to show that the tomb was empty.
Upon arriving at the tomb, they saw nothing but the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene, realizing something was wrong, ran to get Peter and John.
As the other women remained in the tomb, two men appeared to them. Instinctively, they huddled closer to each other in surprised terror. The angel said,
"Do not be afraid, for I know that you are seeking Jesus, who was crucified.
He is not here, for he is risen, as he said."
Jesus is risen.
Amen. Thank you so much, choir, for all the work that you've done to put that together. And what a joy it is to go through that. And I just want to bring it to a head. You've heard the story of Jesus Christ, what he came to do. He was rejected. He was despised. And he came to do that, to be in our place. And in that last song we heard, he says, he is risen as he said. And every one of us have a choice to make today. Do we believe Jesus Christ and his words? Do we believe that he said those things and that he fulfilled them exactly as he did? I want to just point to a couple things just to, I think there's an aspect we are rejoicing in this, but there may be someone here that does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And I want to ask you about the empty tomb. Was the tomb empty that morning? And if it was, where did Jesus go? That's something that you have to really answer the question to, because no other religion upon this earth has a risen Savior. No one has a claim in regards to history like this. And the disciples said that he rose again on the third day and he appeared to them. But did you know? That's not just what the disciples said. That's what his enemies said. The disciples are going around everywhere telling people about Jesus, that he's alive, he's alive. And if he was still in the grave, those who wanted and those that put him to death and didn't want his name to spread, they could have simply brought out the body. But they didn't, because the body was gone. And so what did they do? They paid the soldiers a bribe to say that the disciples came and stole them away. But those disciples, they were not looking for the resurrection. They were not on the third day standing outside the tomb waiting for his glory. No, they were weeping and crying because their teacher and their master was dead and all their hopes were shattered. In fact, when those ladies brought back the testimony that they had seen Jesus, they did not believe. And when Jesus appeared to Peter, and he told them, and he appeared to the 11, Thomas did not believe. And Thomas said, unless I put my hands, my fingers in the nail holes, and my hand in the side, I will not believe. 1 week later, Jesus appeared to Thomas and said, go ahead. And he said, I don't need to do that. He fell down and said, my Lord and my God. And those sniveling, crying cowards who ran away from Jesus lest they should die went out and proclaimed a risen Lord who had appeared to them, and each one of those disciples died a martyr's death, or experienced a martyr's, one of them survived the death. But they all went to their grave saying, I saw him. He was alive. He is alive. And so there's this element that there were not only those who would be greatly overjoyed to see Jesus, but did you know that there were enemies of Jesus whom he appeared to? His own half-brother James did not believe him and mocked him during his life. And Jesus appeared to him, and he went from an unbeliever to a believer and became the pastor of the church in Acts. Paul, or Saul, was the persecutor, and he went around from house to house binding up and having people slain. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him as he was on his way to apprehend others, and he saw the resurrected Christ. Now, you might be able to say someone who wanted to believe something might believe, but what about his enemies who were transformed and changed? And the testimony today of the church, over 2,000 years, as Satan has tried to stomp out this book and stomp out God's people, today we are a testimony of a living Savior. What is the purpose of the resurrection? Well, through death, he conquers death and gives us the hope of eternal life if we will believe in Jesus Christ. But God also did something. He said in Acts 17:31, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ, because he has resurrected, he is the Lord. He is the judge, and every single one of us will stand before him someday and give an account. What did we do with Jesus and his sacrificial death for us? God has assured us that that day is coming because he resurrected his Son. This truly was the Son of God. The Bible says that you must believe in the resurrection to experience eternal life and salvation. In fact, the Bible says the word of salvation is nigh you even this morning. It's in your very mouth. Because if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A divine promise from God. The resurrection has shown that he is the Lord, and you must submit to him. You must entrust your life to him. So today, if this is something you're hearing for the very first time, what you must do is you must put all of your trust in Jesus as the sacrifice for your sin. He hung on the cross to pay for your transgression. He wants to switch places with you, and you must just simply call upon his name and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And today is the day of salvation for you. For you that rejoice in this great message. For you who have already called upon his name. It is for us to show that he is the Lord and to live every day in light of the resurrection. Not for what we can get out of today, but live for the bright hope that we will live in his presence forever and ever. It will impact every decision we make as we live not for ourselves, but for the one who died for us, for the one who rose again, and for the one who's coming again. We're going to sing a final song of invitation. And so it'll be a song of joy. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. You can talk to me, but I'm going to be here throughout the morning. And if you want to hang around and just tell me, Pastor, I'd like to know more how I can have my sins forgiven. I'd be glad to share a Bible with you and just show you how you can know that today. We can have a Bible study, whatever is needed to help you to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord. As Brother Kenny comes, we're going to sing number 269. I invite you to stand.
265.
Let's all stand again as we close. 265, Christ arose.
Amen. Can you imagine the face of our Lord Jesus this morning? As He is among us, beholding, singing what He has done for us. And He said, I will sing, I will praise Thy name, O Father, in the midst of the congregation. Jesus Christ is the Spirit among us that is causing us to rejoice in Him. And